Praise God. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Enjoyed all my children as they were growing up, every one of them. Still enjoy them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, as we get into the Word now, I ask that You anoint the ears to hear, anoint the lips to speak, and Father, between both, much can be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I was praying about this morning, and Lord wanted me to continue on and share some things with you about hope. We talked about hope being an anchor of the soul, the helmet of salvation, that which covers the mind and protects it. We're going into a little more in depth. Again, many believers receive the Word. They hear the Word of God. And they hear the good message of the Word of God. Today we are hearing it more and more, the good Word of God. Then the Word of God creates within us a hope. And in that hope, then we begin to perform or do the Word of God. So we got those four areas that speaks of faith. Number one, the hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number two, we have the approved doctrine, which our faith is centered around. And number three, of course, the hope that the gospel creates within us. And then the works we perform or act on the Word of God. Now, remember I brought out that if our faith lacks any one of these components, then it's not real faith. It's till all four components are working together that will make it successful. You cannot have faith without works. You cannot have faith and not have hope. Because over here in Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now we're going to, again, talk just a little bit about this issue of doubt. Remember what I said about doubt? Doubt is when a person is wavering between two different opinions. The word doubt is not the word unbelief. Unbelief is a refusal to believe. It is where a person outright is discrediting what he hears. He doesn't want to believe it. And so we understand that unbelief is a refusal to accept what is said. And in this point, we're talking about the Word of God. Now, I want to clarify that over in, I think it's Hebrews 4:12, I'm not sure if it's there or not, but I think it is. It says that there is a heart of unbelief is an evil heart. A heart of unbelief is an evil heart. And so we know that when a person refuses to believe, it's because their heart is more influenced by evil than it is with truth. You know, when you're especially preaching to an unbeliever or a sinner, a lot of times they'll either accept what you're saying or reject it. And over there in John chapter 3, it says that they love darkness rather than light, and so they refuse to get born from above because they have a love more for darkness than they do light. Matter of fact, it goes on to say they're afraid to bring their deeds into the light, else they be exposed. And so we know that an evil heart doesn't foster much for truth. But we do know that when a man is in doubt, and we covered doubt last week, and we covered the ground through which doubt comes off, and it's where we all live. I gave that list. Matter of fact, we don't have those typed up yet. We need to get those typed up so that you can get that list, because the groundwork that we covered is where the voice of doubt comes from. Matter of fact, the voice of doubt also comes from our senses, our sense-ruled mind, the mind that has been formed as a result of this natural realm. I like what one person said, that the psuche, the mind of the senses is actually a synthetic mind. It didn't exist until it began to take in knowledge. Then it had its existence. And so we call that the mind of the senses. We brought out in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, that this sensual mind speaks against the knowledge of God. It can't understand, and so it's always in a constant state of rebellion. We can't get rid of the carnal mind, or else we'd quit living in this realm, so to speak. But because we live in this realm, the sensual mind helps us to literally make contact with this realm. Amen? And so we have to rely upon it as far as its ability to see to it that we can communicate while we're living in this natural realm. So we need the sensual mind. But what we don't need about the sensual mind is its voice when it speaks against the knowledge of God. And there's where our carnal mind has to be dealt with. That's why your soul has to be delivered daily. Your soul should be delivered daily. Because every day it's going to have a voice. And we brought out also that when the voice of God speaks, this voice of our carnal mind automatically reacts to that voice. You know, I don't have problem with my carnal mind as long as I'm not speaking the Word of God. But the minute I hear the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, all of a sudden my carnal mind has a word to go against it automatically. And can it ever get renewed or something? No, it has to be purged. You have to learn how to put your carnal mind in an inferior place. You have to learn how to kill it so that it doesn't speak against the knowledge of God. Because without the knowledge of God at work within our heart, we have nothing to base our faith on. Amen? And so we brought out the reason doubt is such a killer to faith is that you can hear the Word of God, you can hear the approved doctrine of God, but Satan's number one goal is to attack you in the realm that he can remove your ability to perform the Word of God. Because you see, the devil does not want you to act on what you hear and know. He doesn't want you to act on it. He wants to do everything he can to stop you. So what he does is he brings up his opinion and he'll use your carnal mind to do that with. See, and it's not always the devil. It can also be your own natural upbringing that can be your worst enemy. I've learned this real quick, like if you don't keep a watch over your heart, if you don't constantly guard your heart, then you don't know where the barriers are in your life, especially with God. That's why over there in Proverbs 4, it says very, very clearly, it says that you are to take and pay attention very close to the Word of God, because that's what you've got to do in order to, what, be diligent over yourself with. Now I'm going to share something with you that really, you need to know this. Your faith will not work for you if, number one, you're in a legal position with God. See, this is where a lot of people don't capitalize on it. If you get into an illegal position with God, and usually this is the area of your neighbor. If you're not walking with a rightness to your heart with your neighbor, then your faith will not work for you. And the problem is, many believers think their faith is working for them, and it's not. And yet you can't tell them that, but they, a lot of times they get into question why certain things aren't working out for them. A lot of times it's because God can't get your attention to correct something in you and get you over into a legal position with Him. And see, with your neighbor, there's an area that you've got to really watch over in your heart. Now, we talked about Wednesday night. We got into a real good message. We had a wonderful presence of God. We had a tremendous altar call. Because people begin to see very clearly that if your heart is against your neighbor in any form or fashion, it doesn't mean your neighbor is always right. How many of you know that? People do trespass your life, but you got to ignore that. You've got to get up beyond that. Are you following me? Now, it doesn't mean that you can't recognize when they do wrong, because there's where your discernment is to protect yourself. You understand? But you don't continually foster that thing and work on it until all of a sudden you have a hatred in your heart towards somebody or something. Amen? So your heart is important. You got to watch over your heart. Too many believers are watching over everybody else's heart except their own. You know, and you got to pay attention to where your own heart is. Praise God. Now, in Hebrews 11:1, I'm going to show you something that I want you to get a hold of this about hope. Now, again, doubt is in the realm of the mind, just like hope is. But notice it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't that interesting? Now, notice, it's the evidence of things not seen. One translation says, it is the conviction. It is the assurance of things not seen. Now, underline things not seen. Underline this. Because I'm going to introduce you to something that when I began to see this, man, it freed me up. It gave me a fresh hope, hallelujah, that I hadn't had before. Now, notice what it says here. It says, now faith is a substance. This is two words brought together, and they're two words called hupostasis. Now, are you ready? It literally means that which stands under. That which stands under. Have you ever thought of Jesus as before he became flesh? Have you ever thought of him as substance before he ever became flesh? He really is. How many of you know there is substance beyond this natural realm? We just can't see it, but it's there. It's just in a different form than it is here. But this word hupostasis literally means that the hope that you have stands under something. The hope that you have stands under something. Well, in this case, it would be the Word of God. Now, this is how I looked at this hope. Whatever my mind would hope for, that's where this verse comes into. Oh, I could hope to be a millionaire. I've seen people believe to be a millionaire that were already millionaires. They wanted more. See, they were believing for God for more, and you never see them come to pass. Matter of fact, you see many of us not getting the answers to our prayers that we know that we've got this hope and we've got it as an anchor to our soul, but it just seems like we're not getting nowhere. Well, I'm going to share something with you about God. Every single day you walk with God, God's in a perpetual state of purging you. And that's why, to a believer, New Testament-wise, that if you break fellowship, you will hinder your faith. You've got to stay in constant fellowship with God because God perpetually brings you along to a place where He can burst something in your heart that no matter what the world's got to offer, your faith is the victory that will overcome this world with. James 5:4. It says, the victory that overcometh the world, whatsoever is born of God in you, is the victory that causes this world to overcome. This world has a hope. But listen, you got a hope. Now, this hope here that he's referring to, I want to clarify something real careful with you. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 18, it talks about a hope. You don't have to turn there because we are going to turn there. It talks about a hope. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, that also talks about a hope. And we're going to go there in just a minute. But here's what I want you to do. Notice it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things what? The evidence of things what? Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Now keep that in mind. And turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're going to learn some good stuff about the operation of faith here this morning. Amen? And we're going to learn something that will help us not to foster doubt so easily. Remember what doubt is? Doubt is not unbelief. Doubt means one who has received the kingdom of God, but another opinion gets in the way, and it's a man who's staggering between two different opinions. And we're all faced with that every day we walk. We're always faced with that. That's why we got to learn where this voice comes from. That's why that ground that I shared with you is so imperative that you know it. Matter of fact, once we get that typed up and get it in your hands, do the same thing I do. Carry it with you. And when you hear this voice, see if it fits the groundwork. If it fits the groundwork, then discard it. Deny it. Disavow it. Boy, I'll tell you what, you will succeed. Now, in Romans chapter 8, go to verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope, that is what? Oh, say it louder than that. Hope that is what? Hope that is what? Hope that is what? Is not what? Oh, ho, ho, ho. Is not hope? Oh, well, we read over there in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Interesting, my dear Watson. Look at this. For why does he yet hope for something he can see? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Well, my gosh, what hope is he talking about here then? And what kind of hope is over there in Hebrews 11:1? Well, I got news for you. You're gonna eliminate a whole wide perimeter of where your hope is, and you're gonna focus it on a very interesting thing. The hope that you see over in Hebrews 11:1. Is what we call the God kind of hope. And the hope that Romans 8, 24 and 25 speak of is natural hope. There is a godly hope and there is a natural hope. Hey, there is a godly hope and there's a natural hope. Hey, boy, you guys aren't blowing me away very well here this morning. There is a natural hope and there's a godly hope. Right. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen. That is a godly hope, but on Romans 8:24 and 25, it's talking about a natural hope. Why? Because natural hope has to wait to see it. Or natural hope has to see it. Touting Thomas. Well, I believe if I just thrust the hand into his side. I'm not believing any of you apostles and Jesus walks through the wall. That's enough for me without putting my hand in his side. And he called Thomas one who fosters a doubt. He always gets thrown in between two different opinions. Until he touched it and he said, blessed are they which don't see and yet believe. So in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, I got news for you. That hope is what we call the hope of God. It literally means that everything that God has said and promised to you by oath is true. And you can stand under that. Well, what about worldly hope? What about natural hope? Does God discredit that too? Absolutely not. But I got news for you. Your natural hope has to be placed right under godly hope. And if you can't place it under there and it's not working for you, then you're the problem, not God. Your hope is probably out of line with God's hope. Now, do I have scripture on this? Absolutely. Absolutely. So we find that there are two kinds of hope. Well, what kind of hopes these two kind are? Well, thank you for asking. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's deal with this worldly hope. And I'm not going to give you the Greek word meanings. It's not important. But I'll just give you the meaning of the word and try to, instead of giving you the Greek word. In Hebrew, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, go to verse, let me get there. Okay, I'm there. Verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Glory to God. This word for sentence here literally means answer. And I got news for you. When you get an answer from God, one thing you've got to understand before you receive from God, you have to have within yourself this death working in you that would speak against what God wants to say to you. You have to have this sentence within yourself. And that's what the writer is saying. Now notice this. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. And there are a lot of believers trusting in themselves. Now notice this. But in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. And that word for hope there is your natural hope. Not the God kind of hope. It literally means that if you take your natural hope and just make sure that you've brought mortification to the natural man and you put your trust in Him, then God's going to do something about your natural hope as well. Glory to God. When I was at this other church preaching this last weekend, a lady's husband came up to me. And he had tears in his eyes. He says, "My gosh, you know what you did? You just delivered me from my unbelief. My doubt." He says, "Because when I know the will of God and I see a hope in this natural realm, and this hope tells me I can't. But when I put the God kind of hope on top of my natural hope, I can." Yep. Glory to God. And he says, "That's it. That finishes it. It's over now." He got so excited. And I says, "Well, praise God. What can I pray for you for?" And he went overboard. "I want a new set of teeth." Oh, really? Boy, when you get free, you believe you can believe for the world. You know what I mean? And that's what it does. It sets you free. It sets you free. Now, the only thing that will stop your faith from not working, if you're not seeing the results and you're waiting patiently and you're not seeing the results, it's because there's something between you and God that's standing in the way, and God's trying to get it out of the way so that your faith can work. Now, when you're young in the Lord, you're not up on all His promises and everything, then sometimes God's grace is young believers. He'll give them something that they don't really deserve. You know what I mean? Simply because they're ignorant of His will. But the more you grow in the Lord, the more you're responsible for what you know. Your options, your faith working, are less optional. Usually I don't see believers really successful when they have aught against their brother. I don't see much success in their faith. I haven't seen much success in my faith. Because we have to walk in love. Any advice we give to anybody, it has to be with an attitude of love. You want to know why? Here goes. The God kind of love hopeth all things for everybody. That hope bears everything. You know what that means? Puts up with anybody. Why? Because people make mistakes. So when you correct something, you got to make sure you're doing it with a constructive idea and not a destructive one. And a lot of Christians don't know the difference. A lot of them seem to think you're talking against them when you're trying to be constructive for them. Well, I've faced that many times. It's because they don't listen to what you're saying. But you've got to make sure your heart's right with mankind, period, over and out, if you're going to be right with God. And usually someone that's in fellowship with God is right with mankind. It doesn't mean mankind's right. But He's right with mankind because He can walk in life and peace. Amen? Now watch this. This is really good. What he says here is he says, we are delivered, he has delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And this is a natural hope. You know, so many times there have been believers told that it's over, it's finished. And yet I have bore witness to believers that are strong in their faith, and it was not over for them. They kept on ticking and ticking and ticking, just like the Energizer Bunny. Why? Because they had the God kind of hope working in them. They put the God kind of hope over the natural hope and succeeded. Now, turn over to Romans 15:13, real quick like. Romans 15:13. Are you guys getting something here? Romans 15:13. I love this one. I quote it. Now the God of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that he may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you all seem real excited here today. Are you guys awake here? We're not having service tonight because it's Mother's Day. You can shout and get excited. It's okay. Well, I like that. Oh, brave one. Here's another one. Oh, turn over to Hebrews. No, I'll tell you what. Let's go to Romans 4. I like this one. I like Romans 4. It talks about the father of my faith. Romans 4:1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Notice he said flesh, not spirit. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Glory to God. You can believe God, and guess what? Your believing is no accounting. Your believing is established because you are righteous. Glory to God. Now notice this. I like this. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? So, for we say that faith has reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now go down to verse 17. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, notice this, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, I've heard Christians say, oh, I'm not going to say something that I don't believe in. That would be lying. Oh, really? You know what this word for not is in the Greek? It means something that doesn't have any existence in the natural. No existence whatsoever. None whatsoever. So God, who is a God of faith, is calling those things that doesn't have anything in the natural as though it did? Absolutely. Why? Because he's living out where you're not living. You're living here. There's a natural hope here, but there's a God kind of hope beyond this natural hope that's there. You know why Jesus was so upset at the disciples when he said, let's meet on the other side? It said he expounded all things to him after the parable of the sower, Mark 4. expound on, it meant he left nothing unturned. Now, it doesn't really specifically say whether or not, but when he said he expounded all things, left nothing out, this is what I believe. I believe when he said, let's go to the other side, they even knew a storm was going to come. I believe that.
Well, how can you be so sure that he even told them a storm was going to hit?
Because he was asleep in the boat. And he stayed asleep till the boat was almost at the point of sinking. Do you think that God would have allowed Jesus to drown? Then why was Jesus in such a deep sleep? He was resting on the word that he gave them. He didn't get caught off guard. He knew the storm was going to hit and told them about it. I believe that. Because I can't understand why he'd fall asleep and be so unprotected. I believe he told them, hey, the storm's going to come. But when you get to the other side, hey, you know what to do. I already taught you, expounded all things about how your faith is to work. Now, you know what? They go and they shake Jesus and they wake him up. Don't you care whether we drowned or not? Jesus goes, I rebuke you. I rebuke you, storm. Stop. What manner of man is this? Well, you know how they were hearing him? They were hearing him with their natural mind. They weren't hearing him where he was coming from. That's the way a lot of Christians listen to the Word of God. They listen to more with their natural mind than they do their spirit. Now, I want you to catch this. We talked about a God hope, and here's the difference between natural hope and God kind of hope. You might want to write this down. The God kind of hope, according to the language, means the ground upon which faith is based on, or what hope is based on. The ground upon which hope is based. And the natural kind of hope, this expresses the ground upon which natural hope rests. The ground upon which natural hope rests. So if you're seeing something, and that's the faith that you're looking at, that faith will express the ground that it's coming off of. Are you following what I'm saying? It'll tell you, yes, the doctor is right. He came with right facts. And here's the hope he's telling you. It's finished. That is the expression of that hope that he's handing you. But the God kind of hope says, I can hope against that hope and still get what I need from God. Glory to God. Don't tell me God's a liar. He's not a man that should lie. It's impossible. And yet Christians seem to think God's lying to them. You know what a Christian is thinking God's lying to him? Well, I'll try faith and see if it worked. I had a minister up in Canada make this statement to us. Well, we'll just see what Ramey can do. I said, and you're a leader of men? Where's your hope? God is a God of hope. Hope comes out of love. Ramey can do something for you. I don't know how he leads his people in faith, to be honest with you. He must lead them against Rhema. I'll tell you what, when you're committed to something, stay committed. He couldn't give me a message of faith. Why? He's too doubtful. You've got to stay committed. You either are or you're not. Yay or nay. Some people, nay. Nay. Is it yay or nay? Nay. Glory to God. You got your shouting clothes on? You got your shouting clothes on? We're going to close with something to really shout about. Oh, you guys are waking up here finally. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I'm preaching myself happy here. Glory to God. Look at this. Let's go to Hebrews 6. Are you guys there? Let me get there with you, okay? I love this passage. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. We're the heirs of promise. Say it to me. I'm an heir of promise. Are you an heir of promise? Are you an heir of promise? Glory to God. Natural hope will speak against that. But I'm an heir of the promise. Oh, watch this. Oh, I love this. The immutability of His counsel. You know what that means? Immutability? Incapable of being changed. Oh, look at this. I love this. Of His counsel. Confirmed by an oath or interposed by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. You know what that word means? Consolation. It means encouragement. It literally means comfort. It literally means a man who enters into a rest because of a completed work. Now, what is the two immutable things that was impossible for him to lie about? The heir of those who inherit the promises. And His oath. God can't speak anything out of His Word that belongs to us, and we cannot give any consideration to it that it is a lie. It's always truth. God can't lie. Why? Well, number one, He said we're heirs of His promise. And number two, He gave His Word on it. Now, look at this. Whew! We might have a strong encouragement. And here's how He tells us how this encouragement feels. Are you ready? Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The God kind of hope. What? Fled for refuge? What in the world is He talking about? Oh, people, I'm going to tell you something. He's telling you He is the God of hope. Hallelujah. And He made us heirs of the promise of all that He wants us to hope for. And I got news for you. You might as well realize that this is going to be the best, strongest encouragement you could ever have. Are you ready? That you can run to Him in those promises by His oath. As a place where you would run to and feel total protection. Total protection. Total protection. You can't doubt. You have to believe and trust that you're in a sanctity of total protection when you're relying on the hope of God in your heart. You're protected. Well, I hope you're getting some. Here we go. Which we have as an anchor of the soul. You know what He's anchoring in us? You know what the anchor is of our soul? He takes and He stabilizes our natural mind with His hope. Our natural hope with His hope. That's how He anchors your natural hope. He anchors it by God kind of hope. Well, yeah, it looks like I'm finished. Looks like I'm done. Get a hold of His hope. The heir of the promise that belongs to you.
Get a hold of that, and it'll stabilize your mind. You won't doubt. You won't flitter around. You'll feel like you found a place of total protection.
Now this is good. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure, safe. You ever thought about the promises of God being a place of safety? That's what he's saying here. Now notice this. And steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, actually entering into the inner side of the veil. That is the most holy place. Notice what he says, whether the forerunner is for us entered. Actually, where a forerunner on behalf of us entered. And the forerunner he's speaking about here is Jesus. And he's talking about a forerunner on a boat. And what they do in weather that they couldn't see where the shore was and everything. They had a forerunner that was up at the head of the boat. And he would drop an anchor into the water. And he'd keep pulling it up so many feet. And he would tell them how close. And when they got to a certain depth, the forerunner would jump into the water. And he would swim to the shore. And he would anchor that rope on a safe place for them to pull the boat in. Are you following me? Pull the boat in. And what he's saying is Jesus, our forerunner, went to heaven itself and he anchored our rope of faith on the promises of God, and we cannot fail. Glory to God. Let's all stand up and praise Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Nothing can stop the blood-bought church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a man of faith. My hope in God will anchor my natural hope. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We don't trust in ourselves. We trust in Him. Ho, 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 ho. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Lord said something to me in the park one day. I was standing in faith for something. And I was quoting these promises. And he came to me. And he says, very plainly. I meant so plain that I thought maybe I had to have a Greek interpretation to go with it to believe it. Because the way my mind works. And he said, son, it's yours. Right away my old head goes, well, I don't do this right, and I don't do that right, and I've done this, and I've done that. And finally God said, let me ask you something. He said, do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? Yeah. She pressed in. She said, for if I but touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. And Jesus, everybody's struggling to me, turns around. He says, who touched me? For I felt virtue go out of me. And so the woman with the issue of blood stood up. And she was in violation of the law. She wasn't supposed to even be in public. She was unclean. She contaminated everybody. She violated law. And Jesus said, oh, lady, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go into an analogy of your history before I can give you that healing. We got to check it out where you're at. You know, a lot of times, how many times Jesus said, let your faith be unto you. Matter of fact, what about the guy laying at the well for 32 years and Jesus comes down there, special missions from God, and he says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And Jesus went looking for him. Why? Because he found out now that he had his body back, he could sin with it. That's why Jesus sought him out. Well, why didn't Jesus, when he went down to the pool there and said, you know, I detect in your heart, you're capable of a lot of sin. So unless you're willing to extract that, I can't tell you to take your bed up and walk. No, Jesus went after him afterward. He got to figuring his other bodily part functions quite well. So Jesus had to go and tell him, sin no more, worst thing come on you. You see, it doesn't mean we're perfect all the time. But
But I got news for you. Jesus will touch your life and He'll give you what you ask for. But I'll tell you what, all you have to do is have an open heart for Him, that when He comes to visit you and He wants something in return of your life, He won't be disappointed. I told the Lord, I'm not perfect in heart, Lord, but I'll tell you what, I am in perfect need. He says, good, let me meet your need and I'll take care of the imperfectness. Are you following what I'm saying? People, I'm going to tell you, God looks for a way to keep us in the game, not get out. He looks for a way to keep it going. He works for a way to keep working in your life. Who can separate you from your life? You're not capable of separating Him from you. You're the dodo head. Well, we are the dodo head. I didn't mean to talk down on you. I can do myself in that. Now, I'm sorry I'm the only one that works in faith perfectly here this morning. But I'll tell you what. There's things I know I didn't deserve. I knew I didn't deserve them. Matter of fact, I didn't even ask God for it. And you know what He did? He gave it to me. And I said, God, I didn't even ask You for this. He said, no, but You thought about it. And I said, I sure did. He said, I was excited to get it to you. You know why He told me that when I'm standing in faith right now for something, you know why He told me that I was going to get it? I said, God, why do I deserve anything from You? And I'll never forget what He told me. He says, because son, in the natural, you have nothing. I was stunned by that answer. You mean you're going to bless me simply because I don't have anything? He says, yeah. That's the love of God. God's not into bartering with you. If you have need of something, He'll see to it you get it. And then if you need correction, He'll come back later. He always visits you when you fellowship with Him. And you'll say, now that I've got you in a state of peace and everything, we need to deal with some issues here, brother. But you see, whenever God gives you something, people, He doesn't want to give it to you on a bartering system. We've been taught that. And sad to say, even our word churches have been taught that. People, God wants you to step out. And He wants you to have faith and have a hope in His promises. That's why the Bible is very clear. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You're not to do that. And you know what? I guarantee many of you are like I am. 100% of the time, I know where I'm wrong already. I already know where I'm wrong. It's just that He didn't put His finger on it yet. But after He's blessed me, I know He's coming back to put my finger on it. Did you get something here this morning? Praise God. Let the God kind of hope interpose over your natural hope and make the kingdom of God work for you. Abraham said, who against hope believed in hope. And that was when He accounted to him. You know something? You got God's heart when you believe Him in spite of all your mistakes. Okay, Father, I thank You. They're going to be just like Abraham. According to Romans 4:20, Father, You said he staggered not at the promises of God. And Father, in the original tongue, You said He did not decide against the promises of God by unbelief, but was empowered by faith, given glory to You. And Father, when we believe You, we give You glory. We don't grieve You by disbelief. We give You glory by believing You. Help us all to believe in You so that we will give God the glory. And everybody said, Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning. And you can say, Pastor, I've never committed my life to God. I never gave Him my life. I'm a citizen of this natural world. I've thought good thoughts. I've gone to church. I've done good things. But I still question whether or not I'm a man of God born from above. You see, the new birth isn't by works. It's simply by believing in Him. And you receive the new works. The birth. Hallelujah. And so if you're here and you're not even sure of your salvation, then when we give the altar call, you need to come up and get that confirmed. And if you're here as a believer this morning and you say, I'm fed up with doubting, I'm fed up with walking out of fellowship with God, I'm going to put my feet on solid ground, I'm going to remain in fellowship with Him, and I'm going to deal with some issues before my Father, and I'll get back into perfect fellowship with Him, we're going to let you come forward also. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, then you're playing games with God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is so you can go on into the deeper things of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Go on deeper spiritually. Hallelujah. Without them, you're trusting in yourself, but you need to be empowered from on high so that you can do all things through Christ. Don't trust in your flesh, but receive the baptism, the power of the Holy Ghost. We're not dealing with a well of salvation, people. We're dealing with the rivers of living water that create power. Hallelujah. And so if you've never been baptized and want to, you can. And this morning, hallelujah, if any one of those three areas is an area that you need to deal with, I want you to step out right now and come forward. Don't sit down yet. You just come out. Anybody, feel free. Hallelujah. Salvation, restoration, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We have altar ministers that will minister to you. Anybody? Don't hesitate. Yes. Come right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Feel free to come on down. Hallelujah. Join our brother. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just wait just a few minutes. Yes. Come on down, sir. Hallelujah. Right here, sir. Hallelujah. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just wait just a minute. Feel the Spirit is not through yet. Anyone else? If He's working with your heart, that's a good sign. Come down. Okay. Altar ministers, come up here. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for these two wonderful people as they come forward. Father, as we place them in the hands of the altar ministers, Father, I pray that they be moved by the Spirit of God to get their every need met. Whether it's salvation, restoration, or the infilling of the Holy Ghost, Father, whatever that need is, they have the wisdom to meet the needs of these two wonderful men that have come forward. What an honor, Father, that they would acknowledge You publicly. And Father, seeing how they acknowledge You publicly, You also acknowledge them before the Father. Amen and amen. If you'll just go with the people behind you, you're going to be blessed. Hallelujah, sir. Just go with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, if the message touched your heart, and you'd like prayer, you'd like us to join you and be bold. It's scriptural to pray for boldness. And you can pray boldness over the gospel. If you'd like us to pray for you, I'd like you to step out and come down front right now. Those of you that would like us to link our faith with yours in boldness to declare the gospel even over your own life after you heard the message this morning. Anybody? Don't you be ashamed. Don't you be ashamed. This is where we link arms together. Hallelujah. Arms together. We have one. Do we have another one? Hallelujah. 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 What an honor. Hallelujah. What an honor to stand before you three. Four. What an honor. What an honor. Yes. What an honor. There's something about public confession that touches the heart of God. I don't know what it is. But we know when the message has touched our heart. This is what the altar's for. What an honor. Hallelujah. What an honor.